gifted person, and I introduce to you Reverend Octavia Lindsay.
Thank you, Victor. Amen. Can you all hear me? All right. Well, you all give the Lord a thunderous hand clap of praise. God is good all the time. He woke us up this morning. God started us on our way. Certainly it is an honor and privilege to stand before God's people. I love your pastor. I want to say that. Amen. Give it up for y'all pastor. He is a genuine heart. Amen. And I love him for his heart. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for this yet another day, for morning by morning, new grace and new mercy we see. God, we thank you for being a God that's able to do anything and everything but fail. Now, Lord, as it is time to preach for you, Lord, I cannot preach until you send a word from on high. So, Lord, I ask that you breathe your breath of life in me so that the people see none of Octavia, but all of you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. And you all have heard the scripture reading for your pleasure. I'm not going to bore you and read it again. But for a brief sermon topic or sermon title, I would like to tag community or chaos. Community or chaos. One thing we have to understand in this scripture is where the prophet Ezekiel was in his life. Realize that hopelessness is an awful feeling. How many of you all know that hopelessness is an awful feeling? How many of us have been there? Amen. Amen. We've all been there. I know it's Valentine's Day and we probably had some wonderful Valentine's Day. But if anybody knows, we know that even with Valentine's Day present, sometimes you can have a sense of feeling hopeless. And so when people feel hopeless, they become dejected, demoralized, and often desperate. Amen. And so when the future seems dark and bleak and offering them no glimmer of life whatsoever, hope stands in the way. No matter what's going on, hope stands in between a sad situation. The hope that we're talking about on this morning is the hope of Jesus Christ. And that's something to be happy about, right? So here we find in the text where Ezekiel, he was in exile, and they were in exile, and they were in the city, and God brought him to this place where he was in the midst of the valley of the dry bones. Amen. And one may ask, well, Octavia, what does this have to do with social justice? I'm glad you asked, Victor. Victor is so cool. What does this have to do with social justice? Well, those dry bones are bones that don't understand when they're dry. Those dry bones are the bones that discriminate against others. Those dry bones are the bones that count you out even before you come. Those dry bones are the bones that don't like you because of the color of your skin or because of your sexual orientation. Those dry bones are the bones that we walk amongst every single day. There's always somebody wondering, what are you doing? Maybe, am I by myself up in here? I'm in the house. Y'all say amen. I love that, y'all. And what we see here, we see God speaking to Ezekiel, asking Ezekiel, look, can these dry bones live again? We see God having a dialogue, God having interlocution with Ezekiel and asking Ezekiel, look, I know you see the state of my people. I know that they're judging you. I know that they don't like you because of what you stand for. I know they don't like you because of the color of your skin. But God asked Ezekiel one question: can these bones live again? And so we find Ezekiel in the text saying, Lord, thou know. Now, I want us to pay attention to Ezekiel's response back to God. And I want us to really evaluate this thing. Ezekiel knew who God was. He knew that God was God. He knew that God knew if the dry bones could live again. But here we find God asking Ezekiel, can they live again? And so Ezekiel is saying, God, you know. I'm just trying to get it to you all how Ezekiel was thinking. You God up in this piece, right? Your mother God, your father God, you're the one running the show. You're our friend to the friendless. And so God, only you know if these dry bones can live again. And so we see Ezekiel going through the text, and we see where God offers him three things to help these dry bones live. And I'm just going to tell you the three things, and I'm going to politely go to my seat. But y'all know I don't really preach long. I don't know if I told Victor that, but neither do you. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the first thing that the Lord offers a solution, rather, to these dry bones, to dead situations, he said, look, the first solution is that the people are to hear the word of the Lord. No matter how dead the situation looks, no matter how hard the times get, no matter how much folk look at you crazy. Folk look at me crazy all the time. I'm telling you, I'm used to it. So they have to hear God's word. It gives why. Why do they have to hear God's word? I'm glad you asked, Mark. They have to hear God's word because God's word gives them promise of a new life. God's word gives them promise of the resurrection from the dead. God's word ultimately gives them the love that they've been looking for. Amen. There's this song out. It said, looking for love in all the wrong places. Can't really sing. I'm sorry, y'all. But sometimes dry bones get dry because people are looking for love in all the wrong places. Sometimes dry bones get dry because people are worrying about what other people are doing and not focused on what they're supposed to be focused on. And so what God is causing us to do and what God is calling us to do is to give the first solution when we see a dry bone situation. God says, look, give them my word. All right. God says, give them my word. He gave them his word and he put muscle. He put bone on bone. God, she put bone on bone. God, our brother, he put bone on bone. God, our sister, God put bone on bone and flesh on flesh. And then God breathed life into the bones. Church, the second solution to the prophet that God gave was, God not only asked that we give them the word, but God said, look, give them my promise. The promises of God, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. The promises of God that he'll always be with us even until the end of the world. The promises of God that he'll make our enemies our footstools. The promises of God. They yea, though they hate me, yes, I still will trust him. The promises of God. So God says, look, these bones, they are each of the body. And I want you to speak my word to them. And I want you to give them my promise. Let me pause here parenthetically and say, isn't it good news to know that we have promises from God? Aren't we glad that God gives us promises that no man can give and no man can take? Aren't we glad that God gives us promises that we know? And one thing about God is a promise keeper. And so God says, look, the second solution is not only do you want to give them my word, but you want to give them my promise. And finally, God said, look, while you're giving them my word and you're giving them my promise, I want you to give them my spirit. In the Hebrew, spirit, it is ruha, which literally translates as the breath of God. And so we must know that Ezekiel was coming as a representative of God Almighty. And God said, look, I'm going to give you my breath so that whenever there's a dead situation. I'm getting excited, y'all. I don't know if y'all feel what's going on, but I'm going to give you my breath. And what I want you to do with my breath, I want you to breathe that breath into those dry bones. Oh, that's the text. That's what we're talking about. Chaos or community. Will we be like everybody else, or will we differentiate ourselves as a body of Christ called to love one another despite our differences? Will we differentiate ourselves and cause ourselves to love anybody no matter the color of their skin, but by the content of their character? Will we act like Christ and love those who sometimes seemingly has themselves in situations and predicament that would deem them, according to society, unlovable? Oh, yes, this is a two-way street. I can remember my mother would always tell me, and I'm the youngest child, I would say that I'm the best child. Well, you know, it's just, right, Mama? She wants. And so being the youngest child, I realized early on in life is that things are a two-way street. And my mama would tell me, now, baby, two wrongs don't make a right. Did y'all hear that growing up? I know y'all, somebody up in here heard that. And so when I felt like folks was doing me wrong, I would look how to do them, and I would say this. I know this is incorrect grammar. I would try to do them wronger. Right? Am I? Y'all forgive me. And so, but one thing I realize is that when Christ comes into our hearts, no matter who does us wrong, no matter who discriminates against us, no matter who talks crazy about us, we are called to be the church. We are called to love those who persecute us. We are called to love those who discriminate against us. We are called to be in community. They will know you by the love you show. They will know you are my people by the love that you show. And the strange thing about love is not a box of candy, right? As I've gotten 4 or 5 boxes this past weekend. Love is not about that. Love is not about roses. But love is an action word. And love is a type of action word that happens whether you feel like it or whether you don't. So I just want us to understand that we're called to be in community with one another. We are called to love one another. We are called to love one another, just as Christ has loved us. Amen.